Good evening, everyone. Some valuable lessons we can learn as we think about truth and what is real and what is fake. Thinking of the two pipes over there, and those stories can be a challenge to us all. Message that has been assigned to me for the Winter Bible School topics. Title is Choked by the Pleasures of Life. What does it mean to be choked? Have you ever choked on something? Have you ever witnessed somebody choke? It's not a pleasant thought, not something that you want to experience or have to help someone with. Think of somebody swallowing something large, it gets stuck in their throat and they can't, it constricts, gets stuck in their airway and they're gasping for breath. It's a serious condition because if the airway, if a person is blocked off and they cannot breathe, they do not last long. Cannot survive long at all without breath. They will shortly run out of oxygen and cannot live long. Tonight we want to think about what it's like to choke spiritually. Can we choke spiritually in our spiritual life, get to a point where we're not able to survive because we do not have the air or the life in us to continue on? Choked by the pleasures of life. We live in a time, we as Americans live in a time of prosperity that is probably unlike any other. Think of years ago, people spent most of their time, most of their waking hours working to survive, maybe raising most of the food they had or working long hours. But we have the ability to work and then have some time, leisure time, recreational time to spend. We can save money with our jobs so we have means to spend and some time off. Some of us have paid time off of work, plenty of spare time on the weekends. We can find plenty of time to spend in pleasure seeking or recreation. Is this wrong? Is it wrong to have spare time to spend in recreation? How much pleasure seeking can I be involved in and still be a Christian? A few things we want to think about tonight. Look at as we think of this subject of being choked by the pleasures of life. You can turn to Luke chapter 8. The title comes from this parable that Jesus taught his disciples and those that were gathered there to listen to him. He told them a parable. We know Jesus used parables a lot to do teaching. And most of the parables that he told, he did not explain. But this one we have the blessing of him giving a detailed explanation about what he meant when he gave this parable. So we're going to read Luke 8. I'm going to start reading at verse 4 and read to verse 15. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And others fell on good ground and sprang up, and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And he said, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they, When they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. So we're looking specifically at verse 14. The seed that fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. What does it mean to be choked by the pleasures of life? This parable is talking about the Word of God. It says in this, when Jesus explained it, that the seed is the Word of God. Just a few thoughts about seeds and how the Word of God is like a seed. I read an article recently about some date palm seeds that were found in the Judean desert. They were believed to be at least 3,000 years old. Scientists that found them soaked them in a special solution, and they got a few of them, planted them, and a few of them germinated. Those seeds held the life for 3,000 years. God has given seeds a unique ability to keep that life ready for the right conditions. A seed does need right conditions to sprout, though. If it's kept in a cool, dry place like those date palm seeds were, they will not germinate. They will not sprout. They will remain dormant. John 12:24, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." So thinking about the Word of God as seeds, it needs to be planted. It needs to be put out and into the right types of soil. If you never plant your corn, leave it in the bag. It will not sprout. It will not bring forth fruit. It needs to be put into the ground, into those right conditions. Seeds need soil to be planted in, and that's a little bit what we want to look at tonight. What is your heart like tonight? Is it a fertile seedbed? Is it a rocky, hard seedbed? Is it dusty and dry like the roadway was? Or does it have thorns growing up that the seedlings cannot survive? They become choked. How is your seedbed tonight? Our title specifically mentions pleasures. We want to look at that as some areas that pleasures can choke our spiritual life. And it mentions the cares of this life and riches, and I believe they are tied in somewhat. We may refer to them a bit, but primarily we want to look at the pleasures of life. So for a mental picture of this, I don't think we know what it's like to have a thorny field that is trying to grow corn, but I guess my mind always goes, when I think of that, goes to a cornfield that is overgrown with pickles. It just constricts the plants. It grows around, the vines grow around the stalks. They twist around the corn stalks. They restrict the corn leaves so they can't provide nutrition to the plant. They sap up valuable moisture, so the corn stalks become yellow and sickly looking. And if it's left go, the farmer is fortunate if he can get even a little bit of a crop, if it's even worth harvesting, especially if you account the complications of trying to run that through the combine head. It almost becomes pointless to harvest it. Just a little mental picture of what it's like to be choked. God wants us to have lives that are fruitful. So what are the pleasures of life, and how can they choke out the Word? I think a pleasure, something that people find fulfillment or joy in. What gives people pleasure? A few things I thought of, maybe on one extreme or one spectrum, is extreme sports, skydiving, rock climbing, bungee jumping, things that give people an adrenaline rush, a thrill, something that is an addicting thrill to do something dangerous. The world around us lives for pleasure. You think of the travel industry, the theme parks, the cruise lines, etc. They casinos, there's a huge industry out there that is built around pleasure seeking. Maybe closer home to us, those are probably things that we don't find ourselves involved in, but maybe closer home to us. What about social media, following news, YouTube, internet browsing for just the joy of doing it? Is that ever something that we can find pleasure in, something to spend time in? It can go on and on. There's many different things, WhatsApp statuses, Telegram chats. They can become a drain on our time, something that we find pleasure and enjoyment in. We are bombarded with the many conveniences that we have that we believe will make our life easier for us. And in many ways they have, but it seems that at times they make us busier because we're so driven to get more done, to be more productive, to get so much more done so we can have more time to relax and do something enjoyable. Maybe you find pleasure, your pleasure in relaxing at the cabin. Maybe it's hunting or fishing or hiking or bird watching. Some people, it's the next volleyball game, the next social event, the next camping trip, the next thing to spend with friends, with those that you socialize with, the next slumber party, the next time to just go hang out with your friends. Or maybe you say none of these are anything that is a temptation or a struggle or a challenge in your life. Maybe you find joy and pleasure in your job and you just love working. Maybe you're a gardener, a seamstress. But I believe all of us have something that we do for enjoyment, for pleasure. And that's not all wrong. There is a place for that, and there is a place to have some recreational time. Jesus himself spent time in relaxation. In Mark 6, verse 31, he told his disciples, "Come ye apart into a desert place and rest a while." You probably know, though, that time didn't work out too well. They didn't get real far. And the people flocked to him. They found out where he was going, and they followed him. And we see what Jesus did. He spent what he was planning to have as his time off, feeding the multitudes, preaching to the multitudes, ministering to them. I believe Jesus had the pleasures of life in correct perspective. He didn't let the pleasures of life keep him from serving the needs of those around him, the people he came in contact with. So recreation is not wrong, but it does need to be kept in perspective. We cannot let it consume us, or our spiritual life will become choked. It will become constricted and will not be able to grow. So what are some tests, maybe some practical tests that we can put to our life or think about to see if we are choked? See if our recreation, our pleasures are choking our spiritual life. The first one that I thought of, is my devotional life suffering? If we find that we don't have time for or feel the need for our personal devotions, I believe it's a sign that something is choking the Word. I don't know that you can guarantee its pleasures. Maybe it's the cares of life. Maybe it's something else. But something is stifling out the Word of God. If we do not have a desire to spend time in His Word, reading His Word, and time in prayer. Maybe it's the cares or riches or pleasures. So maybe it's not pleasures that's choking out the Word in your devotional time, but I think too often the cares and riches are brought upon ourselves in our pursuit of fulfillment of our own pleasures. Too often, we spend extra time in work or gathering in some extra income so we can spend time off, so we can take some time off. So in one way or another, it's probably somewhat tied back to our own selfish interest, our own desire to have some time for ourselves. Thinking of our prayer life, prayer is the Christian's vital breath, the Christian's native air. His watchword at the gate of death, he enters heaven with prayer. If you feel like you're choked and you can't breathe, are you praying? A Christian needs to be praying. It's a Christian's vital breath. I like the words of that song. When have you last prayed? No, maybe not just simply pausing for 15 seconds before a meal to thank God for the food, but when have you actually asked God to fill your life, have a relationship with you? Our prayer life is important. Let's never be too busy or too involved in the pleasures of this life that we forget to pray. Another test, another thing that I believe is something that we need to look at in our own life. I believe the word is being choked if we find it difficult to be at church services. And maybe this sounds like a strong statement, but I believe the devil is intent on choking out the word in my life and your life. I believe he wants to do all he can to keep us away from anywhere we will be exposed to God's word and his people. And I do believe, I'll hasten on to say, I believe there are legitimate reasons to not be at a church service or sickness, especially this year. We're mindful of that and think about that a lot. But I believe also with that, most of our congregations have a call-in line or there's messages recorded and on the website that we can be exposed to God's word if we have a desire for it. Do you desire to hear God's word, to be exposed to God's word? Again, thinking about the seed being the word of God. And if it's being choked out, if that word is being choked out in our life, I think it's a sign of something is taking the place of it. How often am I willing to miss a Wednesday evening service because my job demands it? Maybe that isn't pleasure. Maybe that's the cares of life in that instance. But another one, how often am I willing to miss a Sunday morning service because I'm at the cabin with my family? Just a challenge, something to think about. I believe the word of God is being choked out by pleasure when we let it take priority in our life. Let the pleasure seeking take over. The word of God is being choked if we are more concerned with our comfort and pleasures than the needs of the world around us. Another check that we can use in our life. Which is more appealing to us? Maybe to the young people, to the youth. Taking a two-week trip to see the sights of the western U.S., take in some of those exciting and fulfilling, thrilling entertainment stops along the way, or going on a rebuilding project for CAM, for a hurricane cleanup job. Which is something that we find more fulfillment in? And I don't believe that means we can never do any of that, but I believe there is a value in spending some of our leisure time in showing the world around us what Christian service looks like. And maybe it's showing them, those who have lost everything in a hurricane or a flood, showing them what Christian service looks like in muck boots and coveralls. Maybe it comes down to whether we're willing to serve in a small way here in our home communities. Even giving up some of our legitimate recreational or leisure time to help a neighbor or a brother in the church. Do we see that as a trial, as a hardship, or is it something we're willing to do? I believe that's another way we can know whether the Word of God is being choking out of our life by the pleasures of this world. when I find my fulfillment in this life and spend all my extra time consumed by cares and riches and pleasures of this life, the Word of God is choked out. I fear we can become so easy, we can become so relaxed and enjoy this world that much that our Christian life becomes an afterthought. It doesn't become, isn't real to us because we're so comfortable here. We're so having so much fun here, having so much pleasure here, that our Christian life is an afterthought. We know we need to, God and His Word needs to be alive and well in our life, to be alive spiritually. So easy to cool off in our Christian life until we become unfruitful by being choked out. The Word is choked out, like that field of corn that's overgrown. It's just no fruit, no yield there at all. It's almost useless to run over the field because it's fruitless. So what are the results of being choked by the pleasures of life? Unfruitfulness. We were just talking about that. We want to look at that a little bit. If we're choked by the pleasures of life, our life will be unfruitful. You can turn with me to John 15. I want to read a few verses here where Jesus talked about this very thing of unfruitfulness. What happens to an unfruitful plant? Does it keep living? Think of that yellowed corn stalk. That's unfruitful. It doesn't last very long. It doesn't look healthy at all. But let's read verses 1 through 6 of John 15. And think about this as we read what happens to an unfruitful branch. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. The unfruitful branch in this example, this parable or teaching that Jesus gave, the unfruitful branch eventually becomes disconnected from the vine and becomes fuel for the fire. Let's notice a few things necessary to remain fruitful. Maybe a few things that will keep us from becoming choked by the pleasures of life. In verse 2, Jesus prunes the branches that are producing fruit to encourage more fruit. We won't get into everything this might include, but is it possible that that means that sometimes he's going to prune away some of those pleasures, take away some of those things that are so enjoyable to us, something that we're craving after? Take that away to help us become more fruitful in His kingdom. I believe the pruning process will not always be a pleasant process, but I believe it will be refining and draw us closer to Him. In verse 4, we need a connection to Jesus, the vine, to bear fruit. That's a foundational concept of this passage. But if we're not connected to the vine, if we're not grafted into that vine, we will become unfruitful. Abide in me and I in you. Are we abiding in Christ tonight? Or are we finding our fulfillment and our nutrients, our the things that give us life, that motivate us, are we finding them elsewhere? We need to abide in the vine. That needs to be where our sustenance comes from. And then the last thought on this, unfruitfulness, if it continues, will end in spiritual death. Look at the verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. And how much good is a dead grapevine after you cut it down. It's not useful for anything. It's not useful for any building material because it's so thin and brittle and dry. It's only good to make a little bit of heat as it's burned in the fire. If we become disconnected from the vine, if we become choked off and disconnected and unfruitful, it will end in destruction. Another result of being choked by the pleasures of life, you can turn over to Luke 22:21. Jesus warned about this thing of being so overcome with the world around us, and it results in a lack of watchfulness. Another result of being choked by the pleasures of life. I'm going to read verses 34 to 36 of Luke 21. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Jesus was teaching about the end of time and his second coming. And he says that we need to take heed that we do not become overcome, that we become overcharged with surfeiting. This word surfeiting here would talk about, mean overindulging. And maybe it means overindulging in food and drink, but I believe it could be overindulging in pleasures, overindulging in the things that fill our lives and distract us, take our mind away from his second coming. It's so easy to do where we become relaxed and feel at home here in this world and become we're no longer watching. Let's be a people of God, as a people of God, be watching and waiting for his return. And if we're going to be watching and waiting, we need to guard against distractions, the things of this world that are vying for our attention. So what's the solution to guarding against choking on pleasure? What can we do to keep us from choking on the pleasures of this life? I believe contentment is a necessity, something we need to have. Luke 12:15, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. If we feel we need to be constantly getting the next thing that will fill our pleasure, fill our life, the next gadget that will make our life easier so we can spend more time in pleasure, I believe it's going to allow this choking to happen. But let's be content with what God has given to us. Be content with following him. The second one, the last one I have, be involved in service. We talked about this some already. Being aware of the needs around us, being aware of what's going on around us, but think especially of young people, maybe not tied down to needing to provide for a family, and you want to spend some time. Young people especially can want to do something exciting, do something different, be out and spending time broadening their horizons. I believe that is good. I believe there can be a benefit in seeing more than a small corner of our world where we grew up. But where do we turn for recreation? Where do we turn for something to do like that? New York for Jesus is planning a trip to New York City in May, a one-day trip. It's a good way to do something exciting, do something with friends, socialize with those around us, and also go share the gospel. See some areas that are different than where we live today and still be something used in God's kingdom. The Relief Committee is working on cleanup trips in Honduras. There's other trips that are being planned. Get involved in kingdom work. It provides a good place to to serve the Lord, and also gets us out, gets us some diversity from where we are in life. Go to Bible school for 3 weeks. Bible school's in session right now. It's a good way to take a break from the cares of this life and spend time studying God's Word. Broaden your horizons. Make new friends. Spend time in social life. And give diversity. Do we see that as recreation? Do we see that as something that can be fulfilling and give us some pleasure, some diversity in life? Or do we see that as a drudgery to do those, be involved in service? For a closing passage, turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6, I'm going to read verses 9 and 10, and then verses 17 and 19. It talks here about riches, and I believe we would all have to admit that we have more than a lot around us, and maybe in a way we could substitute that with pleasures. I believe it would fit well. Verses 9 and 10, "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." And then verses 17 to 19, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good works, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life." We've been richly blessed. We have much in this life that we're blessed with. Let's not become overcome and choked by the pleasures of life. Let's not be drowned, verse 9, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Let's instead be alive and well, keep our relationship with God alive and well, so the Word of God is not choked.